Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Plank of the Week. These come around very quickly now. There are so many planks, we have to do them on a very, very regular basis. I'm delighted to say as well that because we are now able to hire proper people to come in and do it, all sorts of people have now started to come back. Russell Quirk is here, Belinda DeLucy is here, and I haven't seen either of you guys for quite a long time. So welcome back to Plank of the Week.
It's been a while, back to normality-ish.
Back to normality, yeah, because I think it's probably the first time this year for both of you, isn't it?
Yes, I think last time was just before Christmas.
We did the Christmas special, yeah, of course, yeah. Plank of the Year. Yeah. Well, do you know what? Plank of the Year is a runaway at the moment for Harry and Meghan. I mean, they're so far ahead of everybody else.
The
gift that keeps on giving.
Every single week, we have to carry somebody over from the previous week, and every single week it's Harry or Meghan
They'd hardly like to run out of steam.
And it's going to be Harry. I'm afraid it's going to be Harry again this week for his latest outburst, in which he's talking about his trauma to Oprah in yet another series of television interviews.
The shock of it.
I mean, I'm sort of curious.
Whilst they also seek to protect their privacy.
Well, I'm curious about their definition of privacy. Mm. You know, they're literally not out of the papers for a day.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Belinda, I feel like I should offer you the opportunity to kick us off with your first plank of the week.
Yeah, so my first plank of the week is John Bercow.
Yes.
He is fresh in my kitchen of plankery because I only just saw him this morning.
Yep.
And he was being interviewed and obviously doing the usual and claiming that Boris was a liar, lying about statistics and data. This is the same man who tried to kill Brexit by 1,000 cuts.
Right.
And circumnavigated the PM in the cabinet, colluding with the EU, trying to rerun or scupper Brexit. This man is not a man of honour.
He's certainly not.
So, but the funny bit came when later in the interview he was talking about voting for Sadiq Khan.
Yes.
And that he was, you know, wonderful mayor and deserved another term. So that, number one, bit bonkers.
Well, I mean, the thing is, as well, he's obviously on some kind of doing the rounds thing because he was on Question Time the other night as well, which I very rarely see. But I was out so late on Thursday from a lunch that I got home. Question Time was on, so I actually just watched it for 5 minutes.
10 o'clock,
yeah. And I mean, he was on that as well, and people are going, "Oh, isn't it great to see John Bercow? Isn't he fantastic?"
Do you think he's changed agent? Because actually, he's kind of fallen by the wayside over the last few months. We haven't seen him.
Yeah. Well, I think he's desperate to get onto something like Strictly. You know, he wants to sort of go up the ranks and become a sort of D-list celeb and earn money by
his dance partner would have to be pretty small.
I was going to say that, but I thought I wouldn't. But I'm glad you did.
But I would like to say the thing he said that I thought was quite funny is he said that he'd left the Conservatives and he was now soft left. And that this
soft
was very
left.
Stunning and brave for him coming out. And he said that he thought that the electorate would find that really authentic.
Really?
And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, mate. 2016, when you were pretending to be conservative, you could have at least let the public know that you were, you know, one of Corbyn's lovies and back then.
What exactly is soft left then? So who in the Labour Party is he aligning himself with? Because it's not Keir Starmer, is it?
Well, in his biography, he praised Tony Blair a lot.
Okay.
While slagging off all his Tory comrades.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's nobody in the Labour Party that is aligned with anything, let alone each other. It's fair to say.
And how dangerous for the Labour Party to be the home of someone like John Bercow?
Yeah.
If it's perfect for someone like John, I mean, it doesn't bode well for the Labour Party.
Do you think they won't be welcoming him with open arms, perhaps?
I don't know.
And isn't this just him being bitter and twisted because he didn't get a peerage?
That as well.
Well, it could be that, you see, because he might be hoping that you'll get nominated by the Labour Party, since he's not going to get one from the Tories.
It's his way to get a title behind the back.
Yeah.
the back doors.
Because he is. I mean, he's an incredibly self-serving individual, isn't he?
He's a pompous, pumped-up little pigeon.
You're absolutely right. I can't disagree with any of that.
But when you say pumped up?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's his chest. You know, like he's very full of himself.
Not vertically.
Not vertically. And remember, he was accused of a lot of bullying when he left.
He was, actually, yes.
You know, to stand high and mighty today, this morning on telly and preach to everyone that he's now this gentle, sweet cartoon character of the soft left. We remember what you did, Burko, yes. And we're not going to forget what the left is trying to do.
I wonder if he'll come back eventually as a Labour MP then. Maybe it's not the peerage. Maybe
good luck winning a seat for Labour, because at the moment doesn't seem to be very easy for them to do.
We'd only be in London or Wales.
Don't stand in Batley, whatever
London
you do.
Or Wales,
no,
that would be it.
London or Wales, that'll be fine. Putney, People's Republic of, or in fact, where else did they win something? They won something in West Yorkshire.
An obscure mayor.
Yeah, mayor of West Yorkshire, which is for the first time now. You can be mayor of just a couple of random towns.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that all about?
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
But wasn't that the one where the MP stood? So now there's no MP for that.
There's
town.
No MP, and they're going to lose
that
share
the job
Tracy,
and take both money.
Apparently used to be on Coronation Street. I'm not a fan of Coronation Street, but apparently she's an actress.
Adds a little stardust.
Does a little bit, yeah.
It's a little bit dull at the moment.
Yeah, it really is. But, I mean, what a nightmare. Anyway, we'll come on, I'm sure, to Keir Starmer later on in the show. But so who's your first nomination?
Well, I guess leading on from Belinda's, my nomination is the entire London electorate. All of you, by the way, all of you that voted for Sadiq Khan. What a stupid thing to do. So that man over 5 years, obviously he had an extended term, didn't he? So 4 years became 5 years, which allowed him to do even more damage than otherwise he would have done in four.
Because actually he did most of the damage in the last year.
Well,
during the lockdown, when he started to close off half the city.
Destroyed TfL not once but twice. Yeah. Has overseen an absolutely abhorrent increase in crime, particularly knife crime and murder. And obviously my sweet spot really is housing.
Yeah.
And actually crunching the numbers on that, you know, what he delivered in 5 years versus what he actually pledged to, particularly affordable housing, the stuff that's really important. He delivered about 22% of what he pledged he would. Mm. And so, albeit on a reduced vote, the fact that so many people voted for Sadiq Khan, when there were so many other candidates, of course. Sean
there
Bailey.
There was like 20 candidates. Laura,
yeah,
never seen so many
Count
candidates.
Binface, who actually was a favourite of mine. Yeah. I think I would have put a cross in the box for Count Binface. But Sadiq Khan's romped home, does another 3 years.
Although he had less votes this time than he did last time, and he got a much smaller margin of victory.
Reduced share of the vote. But, I mean, how bad has a politician got to be not to get re-elected, given his track record?
I know.
And he brought the office of the London mayor into such disrepute by doing that ridiculous, childish balloon of the president,
whatever you think of Trump,
I'll never forget how embarrassing it was to have the president arrive in this ridiculous balloon being sanctioned by our mayor.
I know.
And he brought the office to such, basically in the ditch, and he hasn't lifted it up again. And I am disappointed.
No, I think as long as London is represented by him, it will always be a bad thing.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have no, I mean, as a London, funnily enough, he put a tweet out just after he won, thanking everybody that voted for him, but also saying, you know, I intend to give a voice to all those people, even those who didn't vote for me. To which I said, well, you haven't given me a voice and you never agreed to come on my show. Yeah. He didn't answer it. And so I expect nothing's going to change.
Yeah. No, he'd be way too chicken to come on your show.
He would be, yeah, of
course. And it was interesting, within minutes of him being re-elected, he broke the law. Did you see, as he walked into the London Assembly, he hugged everybody.
Did he?
Which, of course, you know, at that point, 2 or 3 days ago, was still illegal.
One rule for thee, one rule for
me. Course, of course.
I can't believe we live in a country where it's illegal to hug anyone, by the way.
Oh, who's listening to that? I mean, and worryingly, there are the people who do listen to that.
No, there are.
That's slightly scary that there are people waiting to be told they can hug.
The most ridiculous thing that I've seen, I think, over the course of the last year is the ludicrous question that get asked at these press briefings, because I think it was Romilly Weeks from ITN who actually said to Boris Johnson, you know, who should we hug?
You're going to hug.
Who are we allowed to hug?
The member of the public, the question before, did you see? The member of the public that asked the question said, can you explain the difference in the different COVID variances in terms of infection and death rate? Right. Brilliant question for a member of the public.
Right.
And then as someone put on Twitter, you know, isn't it incredible that a professional journalist that's in the press pack then goes and asks such a ridiculous question?
Really,
who are you going to hug?
Yeah.
They're going to be hug booths soon. Little hug booths set up along sort of street centres and shopping centres for people to re-educate themselves onto how to hug properly.
Yeah.
And COVID compliant.
You just have to ask Kay Burley and Beth Rigby how to hug, because they were hugging last Christmas, weren't they?
Well, they were. Or Leila Moran, of course, who yesterday said that actually you shouldn't be given discretion in terms of who you should hug.
Really?
You should be told.
Well, she'll
by
hug
the
anyone, though, because she's pansexual.
Well,
presumably that means
so she can hug anything and everything.
Anything.
Yes.
Anything.
Including including your
Cancels.
Laptop. Including you.
Well,
you.
Beautiful.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm turning into such a hug tart. The more I'm told not to hug, I just want to go out and grab people and just give them a big old squeeze.
Hug tart sounds a good word. Sounds like some kind of strange biscuit.
That should be a hashtag.
That's true, actually.
That should be your hashtag.
Maybe you are. I can't say. Well, I'm going to stick with your original John Bercow, and I'm going to go with GMB as planks because they've hired the most hated man in Britain to try and be the new Piers Morgan this week, Alistair Campbell, the man who'd sexed up the dossier that led us into war with Iraq, the man who is certainly suggested to have been involved somehow in the death of old Dr. Kelly, even though I'm sure that's not true. But, I mean, if nothing else, he may have driven him to committing suicide. I mean, everybody hates Alistair Campbell, and every single reaction to him being on has been negative, because aside from all of that anyway, he's just not a professional presenter. No. And people think that it's an easy thing to do, to go on television and be a presenter, but it really isn't. I mean, you know, Piers Morgan was very good at it, and he was engaging, and he actually made Susanna Reid look good. And I've nothing against Susanna Reid, but without Piers Morgan, she's much less than 50% of
the
show.
She's a mannequin.
She's much less than 50% of the show, because you have to remember she came from the BBC, and everyone who comes from the BBC inevitably is a little bit bland. Mm-hmm. And she's desperately trying now to be serious, which is a really bad idea, because she should be fluffy. Yeah. Not because she's a woman, but because that's the show. Yeah, but
and
the
fun,
show
and
is
witty.
Not, you know, and funny, and she should be making fun of Alistair Campbell.
Yeah,
but instead,
to your point,
it's all about, you know, mental health, and they're all sort of stroking their chins.
And Alistair
and
Campbell
saying,
this morning, to your point, lambasting liars. You think, wow, you know, that's
pot. It takes some doing.
Pretty sweet coming from him.
And a man that definitely needs a charisma transplant, doesn't he?
Yeah,
well,
he really does.
Actually, I think he's probably one of the most charismatic from the left, because they're so thin on the ground.
The
it's so hard
low,
to find someone who's jazzy and quirky, because often to be fun you have to be a bit risky.
Yeah.
Risk taking, you've got to risk to offend, risk to make jokes. The left don't make jokes anymore.
No.
The left
and actually,
don't so
and actually he can be, I mean, he can be quite cutting and he can be quite funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, because I've known Alistair Campbell for many years, as most journalists have, and he can be very horrible as well. But I mean, obviously he's been given this kind of, you know, license to be a presenter, and they're probably directing him and telling him what to say and what not to say, and it's just not really working.
Well, and also he's kind of a self-ordained mental health champion now, which I don't want to be cynical, but has he got a book out soon?
Well, he's always got a book out, because he continually writes chapters of his, or new chapters of his diary, so I mean, his diaries have sold very well. But I mean, he is a manic depressive, there's no question about that, and as much as that doesn't mean he can't do certain things, it does mean that he's not what you might regard as somebody who is always going to come bouncing into the studio with a smile on his face. Well, and he's talking about these serious things. And it's not what GMB, and this is the reason I'm putting, I'm not making him the plank, I'm making GMB the plank, because it's called Good Morning Britain. It's supposed to be a bright, breezy, airy kind
of
show.
A bit of
jazz hands, a bit of showbiz, you know, a bit of reality, you know, a couple of arguments with people, but good-natured kind of banter, which is what Piers and Susanna were all about. But since Piers is gone, they've lost 79% of their audience.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
So they've still got 21% of that.
Well, mind you, that was about a week ago. They could have lost 85% by now. Yeah. But it's just awful now.
But look, he's winning. We're talking about him. And this is
Alistair.
The thing. Yeah, you see, he is being talked about, whether you like him or not. And I think that's one of the reasons they made him president.
Yes, maybe.
But it won't make him better.
The problem with television and radio, as I know very well, is that it's all very well getting somebody to watch your show, but they have to like it or hate it. If they're kind of in
the
somewhere
Piers
in between.
Morgan kind of syndrome.
That works.
Yeah, so people used to love Piers or hate Piers, but they all watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, you kind of just go, it's not very good. Yeah. It's not because you don't like him. He's just not very good, you know? I mean, Howard Stern always used to say that if you like Howard Stern, you listen to him for 20 minutes. If you hate him, you listen to him for half an hour.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's the trick. That's the trick. And Piers must be sitting around, you know, just laughing his socks off.
Yeah.
You know, because it was probably the best thing that ever happened to him, as it was to leave the Mirror.
Yeah.
To leave GMB.
Yeah, that's true.
You know. So who's your second?
So my second is the New Zealand Olympic Committee.
Yes.
Because now I'm slightly wary about making them a plank this
week.
Well,
because you might be cancelled by the mass hordes.
I feel like I'm going to hear sirens and the police are going to take me away at any moment. But I've got to say it. The New Zealand Olympic Committee have come out this week saying it's highly likely they're going to include a trans woman called Laurel Hubbard in their weightlifting women's category in the Tokyo Olympics.
Right.
And this has set off a load of alarm bells, of course, and people would prefer no one to talk about it. And in fact,
she's just supposed to pretend it's not happening, right?
And as a woman, if I complain saying, hang on a minute, Laurel was once male, didn't transition till her 30s, and in her 30s she had previously competed as a male in weightlifting and not got any medals.
Right.
Now she's competing in the female category, and female weightlifters that complain, that have worked their whole lives, become the best in their country, only to face the male at the Olympics, if they complain, they're told to shut up, sit down, be silent, or you'll lose your sponsors. And that they're transphobic. So this basically
is
could
Lauren
be the beginning.
Winning lots of
well, Lauren's going to win.
He won two. She won. I have to say she. And this is no disrespect. Seriously, it's no disrespect to the trans community.
Tread
don't
carefully,
get me into trouble. Okay, because
no,
I really
listen,
don't
I did this last week with Emily Carver
God,
because she was talking about Edinburgh University and how you now have to sign off your emails with your pronouns. So he, she, you know. She had to explain
so
cisgender to me.
She had to explain
cisgender to me, which I didn't know was a bad thing.
And cisgender privilege, by the way.
Well, cisgender apparently is a bad thing. Did you know that?
No.
No. I didn't know what it was. And then I found out I was one. I then realised I was in the wrong somehow immediately.
By
being cisgender.
But you could lose your job as a female weightlifter now. You could lose your sponsorship. If you dare complain that now, right at the top of your game, you have to compete against a 43-year-old biological male who has better bone density, muscle mass.
Shouldn't she be disqualified on the grounds of age? What's a
43-year-old
doing in the Olympics?
Well, this is the thing. Much older males...
Being a man, she's still going to outlive 25-year-old women. She's going to win everything. Go figure.
There
should be no such thing as female sport at school because there's no point.
Well, the Olympics started in 1894, the modern game as we know it today, and it was only male. And women had to work really hard to get their own category. Mm. It wasn't until 1928 that we started to get some equality at the Olympics. Full circle, right the way round to 2021, and we no longer have a women's category anymore. And it's wrong,
it's
and
bizarre,
people need to
it?
Have the courage to be disliked and come out and talk about it, just like Caitlyn Jenner. Mm. And actually many trans women are not pro this at all. They just want to be left
alone. Look at what's happened to J.K. Rowling, you know, who came out and was actually disowned by all the people that appeared and have become millionaires thanks to her in all the Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
All the actors came out and
castigated
her because she doesn't believe that if you've got a penis, you can be a woman.
Yeah, female biology.
I mean, it's not that radical, is it?
It's not transphobic, right?
I mean, imagine, right? Imagine going, what?
I know.
No,
they threw her under a bus too. So unfortunately, the New Zealand Olympic Committee gets it this week because they're the first big committee that come out saying that they're wanting a male to compete in a weightlifting competition with females. It's not right.
Amazing. You're going to have to go far to beat that one.
Okay, well,
what have you got for us?
I'll have a good go. Talking of strange women, my next nomination is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yes.
On the basis...
We love Gwyneth.
We love Gwyneth. So it's reported through The Guardian, who have apparently interviewed her, that whilst the rest of us have been suffering immeasurably in lockdown, you know, people have been losing their jobs, they've been losing their businesses, people have been dying, of course, let's not gloss over that.
No.
Gwyneth apparently this week was asked by The Guardian what her lowest point was during the lockdown. And apparently her lowest point was the fact that she not only had to eat bread. I mean, can you imagine having to eat
the
bread?
Horror.
I mean,
that's
a low of all lows.
Yeah.
She resorted to drinking up to 2 cocktails every evening, which she kind of seems to want to thrash herself to within an inch of her life over, because apparently it's a very, very bad thing. And of course, this is from the woman that apparently just spent $8,000 on a hiking necklace. And has candles that smell
A
hiking necklace. $8,000 on a necklace to wear when she goes hiking. That's how messed up this lady is.
Oh.
And of course, she's the purveyor of candles that smell
like a lady garden.
Like lady bits, like vaginas. So
I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah, so she's not messed up at all, but what an utter plank of a woman.
I know.
It's totally it's peak Gwynnie.
But these,
I love it.
Yeah, these people are absolutely so out of touch, aren't they? I mean, I was laughing the other day. I mean, having said that Harry's going to go, I might have to make it Harry and Meghan who carry over, because Meghan, of course, appeared on some other TV show. I think she was broadcasting to a crowd of people at a live event that she couldn't turn up at, talking about how terrible it had been in the lockdown and the pandemic for women, and particularly women of colour, while wearing an £18,000 Cartier watch, which was gifted to her by Harry, which used to belong to Princess Diana.
Yeah.
And you're actually sitting there going, yeah, it's been terrible.
Your
watch is worth 18,000 quid.
Yeah. But they genuinely think these woke celebrities, I mean, that they have been disadvantaged by something that, of course, look, to the rest of it is absolutely pointless and meaningless. And you know, the how out of touch, how elitist, how privileged these people are. I mean, but then to say it, so to think it is one thing,
but
to say it to the bloody Guardian.
Oh, I know.
So that it's going to be
as if you're
going to published
get sympathy
everywhere,
and it will give you some sort of victim.
Bread. Look at me.
Currency.
Look at me.
I mean,
and
I bet
the cocktails
bread.
Are made out of quinona and kelp. No,
and yes, apparently some wheatgrass. Yeah.
is she saying that eating bread is a bad thing? Then is that why?
No,
it's a bad,
no carbs.
That's how it got to her. It affected her mental health so much she had to resort to bread.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a bad time for her.
It's definitely first world.
Do we know what sort of bread it was? Was it sourdough? you know.
But I'd love you to get her on your show and ask her.
Oh, please.
I'd love to get Gwyneth on the show.
I don't want her to go away. I love these characters that you can have a bit of a giggle about. And her whole uncoupling from Chris Martin.
Yeah, the uncoupling.
And Bill Gates now talking about, we're just not on the same path anymore. We're not growing together, about his wife. I'm thinking, you've been married for 30 years. Right. The last thing on my mind is whether I'm growing together with my husband.
Don't you think there's something going on there? Where's the wine? Do you not think that she's got somebody else? Because there's no reason why we split up after 27 years of marriage.
Well, Jeff Bezos has also just split up, hasn't he? So
But he had somebody to go to. That's why he split up, though. I mean, the point is that if you're in a marriage for 27 years and you're not on the same path, you just carry on, don't you? You just go, I'll see you at the weekend, you know, probably have a sleep at bedrooms. You might go and have an affair or something. But you wouldn't actually split up. It's too complicated.
Well, nothing wrong with some comfy slippers and a pipe.
Exactly right.
Nestle in.
I'll take your word for it.
To the rest
comfy
of your life. It's lovely.
Pipe, some bread.
Some bread.
You know, make a note of it.
I love it that carbs has become like the swear word in some parts of...
But it just seems to me that if you would only leave your husband and or wife because somebody else wants you to.
Yeah, I want Ricky Gervais back to have a word about Gwyneth and Bill Gates, because I think he'd do a fantastic scene.
You really do miss...
I miss Ricky Gervais.
It's a whole comedy set. It's not just 10 minutes as we've done.
I mean, that's why the Oscars were so boring, because he wasn't hosting it, and he wasn't making fun of everybody, because they really do deserve it.
They do.
I mean, last time I saw her, she was doing this Gloop thing, doesn't she? She does this Gloop website where she was steaming her vagina. I don't know what it is with her and her vagina, but she was steaming it. I don't know why you would do that. I don't have one.
I think Chris
Martin, her husband, who I presume is still her husband, bears some responsibility.
I think he's given her maybe vagina trauma or something.
Are they not divorced? Aren't they divorced?
I don't know. Who knows?
They've uncoupled. They are divorced, I think.
I think so, yeah. He's now reevaluating his life, apparently.
So who got custody of the basket of fruit or whatever their
apple,
whatever their kids are
apple
called?
Apple is what
apple,
is
pear
apple,
and
yeah.
cherry or something.
I don't know.
Oh, it's lovely. I hope they never disappear because they're such fun.
Yeah, he's apparently reevaluating his life because he's worked out while the lockdown's been on that there's more to life than being a self-obsessed millionaire rock star, apparently.
Maybe he's reevaluating his life because he thinks his wife's a bit of a nutter.
Well, there is that. But then he's also moved on as Chris Martin, hasn't he? You know, he's not short of lady friends, I think.
Not at all. And they all seem to follow the same sort of similar pattern.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no point being a rock star being married, is there? I mean, you call me old-fashioned?
Yeah. You've got to go and have some fun.
I've always wondered why you would be married. I mean, it's like when the Rolling Stones start taking their wives on tour, you kind of go, maybe it's time to give up.
Well, especially if you're wandering around the house suffocated by the smell of vagina smelling candles, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and steam.
I was given that candle.
Freshly baked bread.
And it's actually
you were
really
given
nice.
The candle?
I was given the mic.
Can I just ask, very discreet, does it bear any resemblance?
Well, it's very musty.
Are we allowed to do this?
So, I don't know whether there's incense around her lady garden while she was, you know, taking the scent for the candle. Mm. But it's very musty. I don't particularly recognise it, it's very pleasant.
I mean, it's good marketing, I suppose. Because we're all talking about it. She's a genius.
That's why I love Gwyneth. We can take the mickey out of her, but I do like her. She's quite
But they're probably 500 quid.
She is quirky.
I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are. Absolutely right. Right, my second one has to be Keir Starmer. Sir Keir Starmer, because the Labour Party have had, for them, the week from hell. And I mean, they are about as useless a political party as any political party that has ever been. When you think back to kind of, you know, the party of Clement Attlee, who formed the NHS, the party even of Harold Wilson and the white heat of the technological revolution of the 60s, even Jim Callaghan, you know, was better than... By the way, he was the last properly elected Labour Party Prime Minister before,
late 70s?
1976. Yeah. If you take away the Blair years, right, and everybody in the Labour Party would like to, because they don't like Tony Blair anymore, they think he was a bit of a rotter, and they don't
He was a bit of a Tory centrist kind of thing anyway.
Yes, yeah, don't want him back.
They'd much rather be out of power protection.
So 1976 is the last time they actually elected a proper, what they regard as Labour Prime Minister. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't see any chance that they're ever going to be elected again. He's managed to lose Hartlepool, right? Which is what you would have to be describing as probably, I think it's been
Labour.
It's
never been Tories.
I think it was Tory in the 50s, somehow. I don't know how that happened.
But even under Corbyn, two MPs got elected in Hartlepool.
Right.
So for Keir to have lost...
Yeah. What must you be thinking as a party? You know, Corbyn apparently was terrible, so you replace him with Keir Starmer, who's immeasurably worse.
Yeah.
I mean...
But also, he just can't get anything right, can he? I mean, he goes to a pub in Bath, he gets thrown out. I mean, that was ridiculous. Yeah. And the guy's going, I'm a Labour voter.
But what's worse, the election defeat, the humiliation for Starmer, where, of course, he said that he was going to take full responsibility, and 24 hours later took full responsibility by sacking Angela Rayner.
Except he couldn't even do that right, because he sacked Angela Rayner from the job that nobody knew she had.
Yeah, and gave her another job that didn't exist.
Yeah, and she's now still got the job that everybody thought she had, so she hasn't actually been sacked at all.
Yeah.
And yesterday she was pictured standing with him looking as if everything was all sweetness and light, even though she's been fired. Mm.
Do you Annalise not feel a bit Dodds. Sorry for Keir, though?
Well,
I mean,
I'm
he's
beginning...
got to juggle momentum on one side with the sort of Tony Blair lot, Adonis lot, on the other side.
Yeah, I don't. He took the job. Okay. You know, he must have known, you know, what the job entails, yeah, having seen what had happened to Corbyn and Ed Miliband, of course, before. So, no, I don't think we should feel sorry for him.
He's making Ed Miliband look like quite a good leader, though.
Yeah, maybe yeah, he'll come
I
back.
I mean, that's extraordinary.
The biggest mistake, though, of these Labour leaders and shadow cabinet MPs is that they forget they are stained from the Brexit years.
Yeah.
You cannot actively try and overturn someone's vote and not be tainted with it for the rest of your life. They just think, oh, the electorate would have forgotten about that. And we were only trying to save the people from themselves.
Exactly right,
anyway.
But that's why they lost Hartlepool, because
and
they put someone up
that
not only lost his seat because he was basically
a Remainer.
And
yeah,
had lost his seat because he was a Remainer, thinking that they could put him into a seat where they voted 70% to leave the EU, and it was all going to be okay. Mm. Of course it's not going to be okay.
And Keir was terrible during the grooming gang scandal. And
we let them
Labour
off.
People haven't forgotten what Labour did.
Right.
Rotherham now, I think, is a Conservative council majority, so we'll hope to see some change.
But that's
there,
the other thing that we don't know all the details of, because you don't retain it. But an awful lot of Labour Party councillors have now been kicked out and have been replaced by Tory Party councillors. I think it's about 58 or something.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinary how they've managed to just lose the grip of what was quite a good opposition. Even with Corbyn, they had an opposition. Mm. They had a point. I mean, Keir Starmer just doesn't have a point. If he was ringing the show, you'd go, what's your point? Yeah. Get on with it. What are you going to tell
me? He's famously called Captain Hindsight.
He is.
Because, of course, you know, he looks back and he also tries to lobby for something to be done that he knows the Conservative government are about to do. But look, no personality and look, no policies. You can't just sit there as a goal-hanging member of the opposition.
Right? This is the guy who in the last, in the Brexit sort of situation, basically in the Theresa May election, said, well, if you're a Remain constituency, we're for Remain. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Leave constituency, we want to leave.
Yeah.
And you go, what do you think? They're not talking to
you're
each
gonna
other.
You're going to get away with that.
You know, that's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
But Mike, how do you then explain why Oxfordshire and Cambridgeshire lost their Conservative councillors and went for Labour councillors?
Well,
this
because
isn't talked about
Chipping,
very much.
So well, Chipping Norton, right?
And Wales is all Labour now.
Well, Wales, well, I was saying this earlier in the week, that the proper opposition now is in Scotland with the SNP. Mm. And with Drakeford in Wales. There is no opposition to the Tory party really in England. But for Chipping Norton, which is one of those kind of rather cosy, it's a bit like, what do you call that, the Midsummer Murders kind of place.
Yes.
You know, it's very white, very middle class, and it's very kind of
it's
Remainery.
Like it's right on.
It's right on. Yeah.
So
it's like Putney.
Perfect
for Labour,
I mean, it's a reflection of the London election.
Yeah.
It's literally John Bercow's dream.
Yeah, place. In 2019, the only constituency they gained was Putney.
Yeah.
And you go, what?
Yeah.
So they lost Blythe Valley, which used to be a mining community before the Tories destroyed it, which has now gone Tory, and they've got Putney.
Yeah.
And you go...
Yeah. But
so
the intellectual left elite
all down,
are the ones
all,
that vote Labour.
It's not so much the wheel-tappers and shunters working men's club. It's all down the Half Moon for a bit of jazz on
a
Sunday afternoon.
The Emily Thornley. You know,
jazz on the Pentiles, number 12.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly. It's very bizarre. So Keir Starmer, I mean, I don't think you'll see out the year. I think the Labour Party will defenestrate him in some way and will find somebody else
but that's
to run
the question. Who? I was literally sitting there at the weekend thinking, actually, who on earth would they... Who could they possibly select that would be better than Keir Starmer, better than Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, Andy Burnham's had a great showing, of course, in Manchester.
Yeah, but he's
got
twice
to be an MP.
And lost, though.
Yeah, but he's got, well, yeah, but maybe, you know, come back, all is forgiven.
He's a plank.
But he is
I'm
popular,
not in favour of Andy
popular
Burnham.
In Manchester.
Well, popular in Manchester.
But then he's got to come back and
so
he's got to win a by-election, become an MP. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what their alternatives are. They haven't got anybody
I like
else.
The like
no.
Caroline
and Paris
Flint
thought they should actually elect a woman.
Caroline Flint was good.
I really like
I mean,
Caroline
wouldn't it be
Flint.
Nice
Where
if they actually managed to find, instead of firing women out of the cabinet, how about you actually elect one?
Well, it depends if they can define what a woman is, because
they're
obviously
process that. Maybe they should get that.
That's a good point.
Maybe get that bloke from New Zealand to run.
Yeah.
You know, he could be the first female leader of the Labour Party.
But Labour needs to be good. The Tories, exactly. The Tories need a good opposition, otherwise
they
go off the path and they become all wet and liberal again. We need.
As they have.
Well, you know, let's just see where Boris takes the whole climate change thing and hope he doesn't take it too far. But a lot went to the Greens. As well, which was interesting, because you'd have thought...
Yes, because why vote Green if you've already got the Tories? But I was talking to Richard Tice about this the other day, and he said he thinks there's space now on the right of the Tory party for a second party, because they've gone so far towards the middle, that actually, you know, not necessarily as right as Brexit party, but right of Boris anyway. And maybe that's where the future lies.
But the danger is that splits the vote, of course, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of what happened in London, I think, you know, because you had so many right-leaning candidates that it let Sadiq Khan back in with only, you know, 5% more than
Sean
Bailey.
Yeah, I guess if you'd taken five of those out, maybe he would have won.
Yeah, that would have been extraordinary. 40-40.
Although people said to me, imagine what would have happened if Sean Bailey had won. He wouldn't have known what to do because he wasn't expecting to win.
Yeah, but the polls were
naughty. No idea.
Yeah, because the polls convinced people that Sean didn't have a chance of winning. So people then, I think, were more relaxed with their vote and put it with people that they didn't really, they knew weren't going to win. And I think if the polls had been more honest and real, more people would have thought it's worth voting for Sean.
And dare I venture, if the Conservative Party got behind Sean Bailey properly, which they,
they let him down.
They hung him out to dry.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they didn't fancy it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, so number three for you.
Right, so number three is my favourite Frenchman, Macron.
Yeah.
He is my plank. And I would like to ask, did any of you start humming that, who do you think you want to kiss, Mr. Macron, when you saw that that image of Jersey with all the retreating French boats?
Wasn't that great? I loved that. I mean, I we were literally cheering from the rafters here at Talk Radio, because you can imagine. Because apart from the fact that it was election day, which is normally quite a boring day, so you can't do any politics anyway, right, because people are going out to vote. And we were like, this is amazing, because you knew it wasn't going to come to anything. It was just going to be a waste of everybody's time.
Well, also, I mean, he reminds me a little bit of that lion from Wizard of Oz. It's like, let me at him, you know, against the British Navy. It's just never going to work. And poor Jersey, all they were doing was adhering to the Brexit agreement.
Right.
French fishermen need a license.
Right.
Now
and also, they've granted loads of licences, right?
They've granted them, but the French fishermen were like, I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to have the fish I had before Brexit, and started threatening to blockade. Then the French were like, right, we are going to cut off the electricity. Like blooming Putin.
Unbelievable.
Or something.
But you know what was even more amazing was all these kind of Ramona-y types who were like, this is what happens because of Brexit. We're going to war now because of you idiots. You know. And then it was like, so you're unhappy with the fact that we're defending our own Channel Island, but you don't care that the French actually threatened to cut us off from electricity.
I mean,
they don't care about that.
The Liberals should be absolutely horrified by the threat of a small island having its electricity cut off by a massive, powerful France.
Yeah.
And of course, Macron, he's trying to do the whole I am big, I am strong muscle man.
Except he's not, is
he's
it?
Not. He's
not big or strong.
The irony of...
he's a sort of French Burko in that area.
The irony of a French move, a French attack on us or anybody else, they've never won anything in their bloody lives in France.
Well, and did you hear what the UK
couple of World Cups, I did look this up.
Oh, did I? Yeah. One of the UK... I think anonymous diplomat had said that Macron described Macron as having small D energy. And I don't know if I can say that word.
Yes, you can, I
but
think.
But it, you know, rhymes
I
with
I think you can say lick. It rhymes with lick. I'm interested in your rhyming slang.
Yes, so thank you very much.
No.
And I think it was a little bit rude, but there is this sort of image of Macron. He's not actually that small. He's 5'9".
Is he?
Because I was thinking of comparing him a bit to Napoleon, but Napoleon is 5'7".
And they were only just celebrating Napoleon's death, which is a weird thing to celebrate, it seems
strange.
To be.
Strange.
Why would you celebrate Napoleon's death?
I know, rather
I mean, celebrate
sad.
His birth. But, by all means, but it's death.
But the two men have one thing in common more than anything. They have a deep-seated jealousy of Britain. They hate Britain, but they love it. They admire us, but they want to stick it to us. They've got this, and Macron has that in oodles.
Well, Peter Hitchens actually wrote an interesting piece on Sunday about this. He said, actually, wasn't it great fun that we were back at war with the French? Because actually, we're quite similar.
It's like old times.
Yeah, it is. And we are kind of quite like each other in a funny sort of way.
We are.
Probably more than we would like to think. But I thought as well it was hilarious when the French all kind of came in, and then suddenly the British gunboats appeared. They just all left.
Yes,
I mean, there wasn't even any kind of hanging about. It was just like, oh, Christ, let's go. And they all sort of immediately into reverse and back to Calais, which apparently they're now going to decide to blockade Calais, which actually effectively means they don't go anywhere.
Well, they're blockading themselves.
Yeah, they just literally stand on the boats and don't move them.
And this is all for the tiny breadcrumbs that our fishermen were given from the rubbish deal that they got. Tiny breadcrumbs, and that's how the
French. But I, of course, had one of these historians on, who was obviously a Ramona as well, to talk about kind of, you know, former sea battles that we'd had with the French, because not what we were, you know, hamming it up or anything, you know. This is going to be like the Battle of Trafalgar. Should we get HMS Victory out of the dock in Portsmouth, you know, start getting out there. But he said, well, of course, the French have had access to our waters for a very long time. I said, well, no, they haven't. They've only had access since 1973, surely. You know, what about the Battle of La Manche, which was back in, like, the 12th century? Mm. You know, and he didn't really have anything to say. People are going, but they've always fished there. No, they haven't. They've only fished there since before, you know, Hartlepool was a Tory seat. You know, it's not that long ago.
And they didn't think twice about decimating our fishing industry and having our fishermen have to burn their boats. You know, it's not there's not one single thought of the unfairness of it all from the French. And the sad thing is, Macron had a friend in us. We want to be friends. Yeah. We're like a sitting duck friend for the French, and he keeps wanting to stick it to us instead.
Well, London is still, as far as I'm aware, the 13th biggest city in France because so many French people live here,
Over 400,000 French, most of them around South Ken.
Right, there you go. Yeah. We'll make sure we keep an eye on them because you never know. If you see them on the Serpentine, they might be trying to make some kind of a land grab. But, I mean, they had the BBC, of course, doing the wrong thing as ever, took a crew over to France and were interviewing this guy who ran a fish shop. And he picked up a crab, and it was this lovely big sort of crab about this size. And he said, this is a, you know, Jersey crab. You can't get them anywhere else. They're the most amazing crabs. And, of course, we can't get them anymore. And it's like, that's not even true.
Yeah.
You can fish for them if you want. You just have to fill out a form and get permission.
We have to prove your history, I think,
and
as a fisherman.
And maybe pay us some money for taking the crabs out of the water. So that would be fine.
Yeah, if we all rocked up in fishing boats off the coast of Nice, they might have something to say about it, might they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the likes of, you know, the arch Ramonas were all getting ready to don their little EU flag military uniforms to go and join Macron in fighting our fishermen. And I think they were slightly disappointed that they couldn't join.
Well, they hated the fact that Boris, because I was saying this to someone else, can you imagine Theresa May sending the gunboats?
No.
It would never have happened. She would have gone, oh, should we organise a summit?
Yeah.
You know, let's have a meeting.
Should we send them some sandwiches?
Let's have tea and cake.
But, I mean, I was masterstroke by Boris to do it because it cut it. And people were arguing that night, even though they'd gone, how dangerous it was. Well, hang on, it's done what it was supposed to do. It's chased them all back to France. Yeah. It's all over. Get lost.
And they were
tiny little mini Falklands for Boris there.
Yes, I think it was a mini Falklands.
I think so. I think it was brilliant. And I think, and it shows, because we sometimes forget, because he's allowed himself to be taken over by these nutty sage people. It allows us to remember what Boris, why he was elected. Yeah. And it's because of things like that.
Well, maybe with COVID behind us, hopefully, fingers crossed, that he might go back to the old Boris.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Let's hope so. So, number three for you.
So, I hope I'm not breaching protocols here, because this is someone that you did nominate last week, so I don't want to get into trouble with you.
No, you can nominate people more than once. I mean, Harry and Meghan literally haven't been off the list since January. Yeah. I mean, they're in every single week.
So, on the basis that this particular person, which is Gary Lineker, by the way, deserves it probably week after week after week, I'm going to nominate Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
And the reason is, notwithstanding what you nominated him for, is that, of course, he's in trouble, inverted commas, as many people are, admittedly, over his tax and his IR35 in terms of this historic taxation that he apparently, allegedly owes on the basis of him being self-employed but not being self-employed.
Yes.
And I guess, look, it's okay, and he may well be within the rules. I guess my point is, he's such a woke warrior. He's so right on. He's so self-righteous. Why was he trying to evade tax, albeit legally, to mitigate his tax position anyway, when this is the guy that stands up and tells us all what we should be doing?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, how we should behave and how we should act. So surely, shouldn't he just pay his 40% and that's it and get on with it, rather than trying to avoid it?
Well, you might also ask why he takes so much money out of the BBC, which is a publicly funded organisation.
He's had a pay cut.
When he clearly doesn't need...
Pockets of grannies.
Yeah, exactly.
Women are going to jail for him. He's only got 1.4 million quid a year now. So come on.
I mean,
it's a bit like Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, he's having a hard time. 1.4 million quid, how are you going to live on that?
I don't know.
I mean, it really is quite extraordinary. But, I mean, you're quite right. I mean, I would on most cases, side with the person who was fighting the HMRC on this, because I think it's actually quite an unfair burden they're trying to put on.
Because it's retrospective.
Because it's retrospective as well. They're basically saying, well, I know that you thought you could do this, and your accountant said you could do it, and it was quite legal to do it when you did it, but we're now telling you can't do it, and we're going to come after you and punish you for doing it.
Yeah.
And I think his bill for national insurance alone
is
over
million.
A million, isn't it?
So it's 4.9 million in total, which is the PAYE, National Insurance and Corporation Tax.
I mean, they're basically saying that while he was working at the BBC, he should have been paid as an employee of the BBC.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they started all of this was because they thought a lot of people that were working at the BBC were just using this as a kind of device. Yeah. So they'd set up a personal service company, they'd get that company to be paid. But, I mean, effectively, the government have now made it almost impossible to operate in a way which is beneficial.
The 4.9
without
million
being employed anyway.
Is the difference, presumably, between what he should have paid and what he did pay.
Well, that's what they'll say.
So my question to Mr. Lineker would be, what do you think can be bought in the public sector for 4.9 million?
Yes.
How many kids
can go to school?
Yeah.
How many nurses?
How many nurses?
Yeah. How many firing?
How many refugees can he put up in a hotel? Because, of course, house. He brought one to one. His house. Although we never actually saw the guy.
No.
So we don't really know if he had one in his house or not.
I think he's a massive hypocrite and will hopefully, to your point earlier, continue to be so.
Also, if he's offered the chance by HMRC to pay up, why doesn't he just pay up?
He'll presumably fight it.
And put money back. Well, he is fighting it because apparently this has gone back to about a year ago. He's now appealing it. So this is the first we found out about it. This weekend.
So he's appealing on the basis he doesn't want to pay the tax.
Presumably.
I mean, I get your tax point, but to be honest, the hypocrisy of it is the major point. Because wasn't he the same guy that preached to everyone about wearing masks in supermarkets and had a go at people not wearing masks?
Yep.
And then he was photographed not wearing a mask in a supermarket. And this is what people hate. It's actually not the little things.
No.
Because we all make mistakes and we all get things wrong now and again. It's the preaching, the hypocrisy, and it's millionaires telling the average Joe Blogs on the street all the rules they should adhere to while poncying off and doing whatever they like.
It is.
It's not right.
Yes.
Mary Antoinette.
It is.
They're
That's exactly right.
I mean, shit.
I don't. Yeah, you can't say that. I mean, they might let it go, but I very much doubt it. My final nominee is the FA, speaking of which is not what you think it is. It's the Football Association, because they've decided to rebadge the Three Lions. Now, the Three Lions is an iconic brand, right? You buy your T-shirt or your football shirt for your kids. It's got three lions because that's what the English symbol of battle is, right? I mean, it's been the standard that you hold up. I mean, talk about Agincourt. Yeah. I think they held up the three lions in Agincourt, didn't they?
Well, it's the king's emblem, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Three gold lions.
So three gold lions. It's also the title of a song, famously sung by, you know, the Lightning Seeds, Three Lions on My Shoulder. They're going to have to rewrite
Frank
the
Skinner,
lyrics.
David Baddiel, yeah.
David Baddiel, Skinner, that's right. It was the 1996 anthem for the Euros, right?
Which was brilliant. Yeah, and they're brave enough to be funny.
Yeah, well, they were, but not anymore, I'm afraid.
They've been cancelled.
Yeah,
sorry.
They can't be funny anymore. But, you know, so now here's what they've done. They've changed the three lions, right? So now there's a daddy lion, there's a mummy lion, and there's a baby lion. So, I mean, first of all, they've got it completely wrong, because surely if you're going to rebrand it, you have to brand it with every available gender. Now, according to the BBC, there's at least 97 types of gender, right? This is on a BBC educational children's show, by the way. So they've, you know, 97 lines is what they need on the shirt. Not
but that's not quite got the same ring to it in a tune.
97 lines on my shirt. Well, neither is, you know, a daddy line, a mummy line, and a baby line on my shirt either.
So that's the three bears.
It does sound like the three bears. But I mean, this is apparently, they've also rebranded the FA and they're now calling it England Football.
Oh, stop it.
I don't know what's wrong with the Football Association.
Women haven't been protesting on the street saying we want a mummy female lion on the crest. We haven't been. No one said a word. It's a group of weirdos sat around a table in some small little stinky room going, what words and images can we make really offensive and tell people they're weapons that hurt them now? Oh, three lions on the shirt.
So the Football Association has male connotations or something, does it?
Well, I've got no idea. As a woman, I don't feel excluded.
This is apparently, and this is how I find, I mean, I'd love to have a job. I know there are lots of people who have jobs which, you know, I don't understand. How about this, right? The New England Football Badge, which is the culmination of an 18-month project by design studio Matter, represents every part of the football industry. They've taken 18 months to come up with this.
How much does this cost?
Well, you wonder. So Lioness and Cubs stand for men's, women's and children's football. And then it says, but they've also removed the iconic shield and the roses.
Why?
And the crown, the king's crown?
Well, the crown wasn't there, but there were roses and there was a shield. And they've all gone now. Presumably, I don't know why. Why wouldn't you want a shield?
I don't know the symbolism.
I mean, it's not even a sword. It's not like it's a piece of... it's not a weapon.
Now the seal is broken, where does it stop? Because what about the disabled? What about the people who are triggered by lions? What about, you know, people who feel very scared about...
Hang on, there's a lion in a wheelchair.
What about the thing?
Where's the disabled lion? Come on.
Of course.
I mean, let's be fair.
But this is true. You are opening a Pandora's box. And for sport to be politicised, it's so unfair.
Also, maybe as we were discussing earlier, you should put a few other animals in.
It's discriminatory against leopards.
Panther.
A
puma.
Tigers. Where's the poor tigers? It's tigerist. Not to have a tiger.
Yeah.
And you know, the rugby.
Says here, look, hang on. It says here, I don't know what they're doing with the rugby. It says the 10 roses have been omitted to show that football is for everyone.
Well, why wasn't it before? I don't get
What's that got to do with roses?
I don't know. Is it some England connotation? Red rose?
Apparently there was no real reason why they were there in the first place. Well, apart from the fact that there's
tradition.
An English rose, which is something like the famous flower of England, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't
it? I have no idea.
I mean, you refer to people as English roses, don't you?
And I bet the bill was £1 million
Probably.
To change all that.
I know. I'm not up for all this inclusive stuff. I think it's actually quite damaging and starts to divide on so many levels. Because what are you chaps thinking? Who are these women barking on about wanting a woman lion? And no one is.
No one is. There is no movement.
Putting pressure for this to happen. It's just a group of, what, five, six people
and a lion cub. I mean, you know, surely if you're going into battle, i.e. a football match, which should be like going into battle because you want to win it.
You wouldn't take your kids with you.
You'd take your three lions and away you go, don't you? you come on, son. You come and fight them as well. Mm. I know that you do, and your wife. Mm. I mean, I know that's going to sound horrifically sexist. But, you know, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
What are the cricket... Isn't the crest for cricket the three lines as well? Are they
copying? So. Well, they probably have to now.
They'll
have
to. It's like the beginning now, the end of our
crest. Rugby will have to do it as well, presumably.
Well, rugby's now banned the Saxon name they give for one of their English team.
I'm a bit worried about Essex. So Essex is three swords. So presumably they're going to have to go. It's going to have to be a sword,
to be honest,
a knitting needle,
and a drinking straw. I wouldn't mind if Essex was actually just discommunicated from Britain altogether.
We do seek our independence, actually. Or rather, Canvey Island on Essex.
Yes,
I can tell you.
That's fine. What about the Isle of Sheppey? Is that in Essex?
That's Kent.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's not great. So now we've got the final three from each of us. That's nine. We're going to carry over Harry and Meghan, right? So that makes ten. Top ten. But we need to get it down to three. So you guys now have to choose each other's favourite. So why don't you choose Russell's? Tell us what your three
were. So my recap was the London electorate for being stupid enough to re-elect Sadiq Khan, Gwyneth Paltrow, and yet again Gary Lineker.
So I'm going to have to go with Gwynny.
Okay.
Because she's such fun.
She is fun. Right. So you tell me your three.
So my three, it was Macron, it was the New Zealand Olympic Committee, and it was John Bercow.
Well, I think it's going to be Macron, isn't it? It's got to be Macron for the failed Battle of Waterloo or whatever it was.
Well, his vaccine rollout's already been called the Waterloo vaccine.
I know. Absolutely hopeless. So Macron goes into the mix. So my three.
Such an insult, isn't it?
GMB, Good Morning Britain, Keir Starmer, and the English FA.
Ooh,
actually, those are three good ones.
Very difficult to choose between those three.
Yeah. Hard to know, isn't it?
I mean, Keir Starmer definitely deserves it, doesn't he?
He does.
Just for the election loss, but the way he handled the reshuffle thereafter.
And will continue definitely to been be a bad week
a
for
plank.
Him.
But I think he'll have his day again, won't he?
He will.
He'll be back. So I guess, I don't know. What do you think? It's tough.
I would go for the FA. Because
I think
it's
so.
A good one.
I think so.
Yeah. They've really let the fan. They really let this country down.
They've let the side down.
It's woke gone mad.
Okay, so then, so Gwyneth, Emmanuel Macron, and the English FA. Who's going to win? Given that the other two will be second and third, obviously. So these are the top three planks. I would suggest it should be Macron actually. Because that was horrendous, what went on there.
It was silly, sort of...
really stupid.
Yeah, muscle kissing, willy wagging, whatever.
Yeah, and then the retreat, which they used to.
Get your willy out, but actually it's not very big and you shouldn't be wagging it around.
Because everyone laughed.
Put it away.
It's nothing to look at. Yeah. There's nothing to see here.
Put the snake back in the basket.
You know, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
I think Macron gets
so it. Emmanuel Macron wins plank of the week. Can we give Gwyneth second place? Just for because I know you'd like that.
I do. I like her and I just wanted to keep talking.
And the English FA.
She's great value, but her candles aren't.
No, exactly right. So, zut alors, the winner of Plank of the Week is indeed a French. He is Emmanuel Macron. Thanks to Belinda and thanks to Russell for coming in. We'll see you again very soon. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.